This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
What's up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Liberty Tonight with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. Make sure you find our daily podcast, Good Morning Liberty, where we talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning every single day of the week when we want to. We've been debating iPhones versus not iPhones for a solid 17 minutes or so before this show started. We've been debating. So why don't you let us know? Send us an email, charlie@goodmorningliberty.us, which one is better.
And so far in the Fed Haters Club, we have more not iPhone users than iPhone users.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
You know, those which libertarians, sad. They like to do their own thing, and a lot of times they're wrong. So, you know, yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Anyhow, we got to.
And they always talk about how there's more options for Android, whatever. Well, what about when your phone doesn't work? Like, it doesn't work like a phone.
I'm sure they figured out the whole getting your phone to work thing. You know, it's not just Apple that figured out how to make a phone work. But I don't know. I haven't tried one in a while.
Better.
Yeah, it's just way better. You never have to stress about things.
Yeah.
So
when you pull up an app, you don't know if. You know, last night. Someone was asking me, like, do you see a bunch of ads when you go to download an app from the App Store on iPhone? I was like, no. But, like, literally, she pulled up this app she was downloading and was, like, showing me in the Google Play Store how, like, you have to, like, you click install and then you have to watch an ad.
For
downloading an app. That's ridiculous.
Freaking Google.
Yeah.
You know? Jeez. Hey, here's a
that reason. Alone.
Here's a thing for libertarians.
That alone.
Apple is way better, seemingly, with privacy than a Google, tyrannical Google-based phone is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I don't even know how you let them have, like, that information.
Yeah. I don't even trust using it. They're like, oh, I don't use Google to search things. I use DuckDuckGo. You got a Google phone!
Everything is going through their servers.
Okay. Anyway, we'll continue this.
There's
debate.
No way you're going to be part of the boog.
No way.
Because they'll know.
Not with a Google phone.
Not with a Google. No.
No way. Only Apple people are going to be part of the boog.
They pull everything off of that device. I can't believe you guys.
So there's stuff going on around the
honestly,
world.
I don't think they should be part of the group anymore. They're probably giving information.
We just put people on a list. We're going to be able to get rid of these people pretty soon now. They just outed themselves.
Yeah.
Okay? We can't trust them anymore. Yeah. All right, we have to get to the content.
All the liberty information we talk about.
We actually have to get to the content.
They're just sending it off to Google, which you know is going straight to the Fed.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's... We have feds that have infiltrated the Fed Haters Club.
Of course, that would be the first place they would go. They literally searched it. That's, of course, they would join the Fed Haters Club at joingml.com. And we appreciate their minimum payment of $6 a month.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I feel like we should have a higher fee for Android users, though.
Charlie, Israel-Hamas war is still going on. Have you seen that in the news?
There's a war going on in our club.
There's a war going on the other side of the world that we're going to continue to be involved in. And saw some just disturbing things over the last couple of days that people are talking about, like Israel bombing a refugee camp. That's weird, okay? That's kind of awkward, guys. I don't think we should bomb refugee camps. But apparently they were trying to kill a Hamas guy. So you got to weigh the pros and cons there.
So take out the whole refugee camp.
We don't know how many people died at the camp, but people weren't mad enough about the first time. They didn't bomb the camp again because I guess they...
Did that really happen?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of crazy.
Is this confirmed or is it kind of like the hospital bombing?
No, this is a real one. Israel said that they bombed it. And there was a clip going around of the dude on CNN talking to Wolf Blitzer, and Wolf Blitzer was kind of grilling him about it. Like, you knew that innocent people were there and you still bombed the refugee camp, and they were... He said, yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah. Cold-blooded.
That's not a good thing.
No, and I really worry, you know, there's so many arguments going on about this conflict, and a lot of them, they're based upon whether or not you think Israel or Palestine should exist or not exist, or whether or not Israel's occupying this land, or who took the land from who, whose land was it at the beginning. And what I've decided on this is that we don't have a time machine. And we can't fix what happened in 1947 or in the 60s or all the different wars that have taken place. We can learn.
Or 2000 BC.
Yeah, any of those. We don't have a time machine.
Yeah.
Israel does exist, and I don't think they're just going to throw up their hands and move elsewhere and everything's going to be fine. So what we have to do is figure out what the best course forward is. And I don't know if the current course is the best one forward for them. We don't have to get into this whole thing that I wrote out, but I've even started to think about it from the standpoint that, like, I want Israel to exist. Okay. They've been there for a while. I'm not saying that they all need to move, but, like, what would you do if you wanted Israel to do well and keep existing and not have to keep fighting these wars and all that? And I don't really think that what they're doing right now is going to help. And so instead of arguing about whether or not they should be there or shouldn't be there, whose land it is or anything, what I wish we could do is stop that part, because that part's really not going to change. And what I would like to see is for the people who want Israel to win this courageous battle to ask the question, is what they are doing right now actually the best thing for their future? Is it going to work?
Well, and here's the other tough part, which is one of the problems you have between, like, let's say choosing sides is one group, Hamas, like, not only do they not want Israel to exist, but, like, they want to get rid of an entire group of people.
Yeah. From what I heard.
Based on the fact that they're Jews.
I hear that they changed it. Now, I haven't actually confirmed. I was listening to someone yesterday. They said that they changed their charter. It no longer says Jews. It says Israel.
Mm.
And so that's who they want to be gone.
Not, so you're saying that Israel, Jews. Like if the Jews moved to another location, like and set up a different Israel.
They're not going to try to kill those Jews.
They're not going to.
It's just Israel.
Yeah.
That is the problem. I don't know. I haven't read it. I haven't actually seen that. That's just something I heard yesterday.
Yeah.
So someone else can help us confirm that. If it's wrong, then it's wrong. And it's that person's fault, not mine. But I just wonder if they're going to be able to. They keep saying, well,
could we move Jerusalem to, like, Seattle, maybe?
You're going to have to talk to the Bible about that.
And then give
honestly.
The Jews all of Washington State?
Possibly.
And maybe.
That could be fine.
Yeah. We'll move Jesus's tomb.
Mm-hmm. Could we move Antifa out of Portland and just put the Jews there instead?
We'll give them the whole state of Oregon.
I might back that one.
Yeah.
That could be fine. But I mean, would even keep standards for high school students graduating.
Now, if we did that, would Hamas come over to America and still try to kill? Well, would they come over to Israel?
Oh, which would be inside
of America.
FKA Portland, Oregon.
Yeah. Exactly.
They might. They might do that. So I've just been trying to think about what the best way forward is for them. And I don't think that doing kind of what we did after 9/11 is going to be the one that works. Like Netanyahu has said, well, you wouldn't have asked America after 9/11 to go with a ceasefire. You know, what did we do after 9/11? Well, the answer is what we did after 9/11 was wrong.
And didn't work.
It didn't work.
And we did it for 20 years.
So I don't really think
We're still doing it and it's still not working.
Still, we've been not working now on that for a long time.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they should have done after the whole October 7th thing. Like, let's just say history started on October 7th. You know, what should you do? I think it matters whether or not they care if people around the world are behind them and whether or not they want to win the public perception campaign around the world. Because I think a lot about this, like, what does Hamas want? Probably the same thing that Osama bin Laden wanted, which was for us to come over there so they could kill even more of us. And we would also help them recruit more and more people by going over there and killing civilians and taking over their occupying their land for a long time. You know, we helped their cause quite a bit when we went over there. And so I think Hamas and taking hostages and killing and doing what they did, and then running back, scurrying back over to their side, they wanted Israel to follow them and come over there and do exactly what they're doing right now. And look around the world, dude. I mean, look at the protests. Look at what's going on. Look at people cornering Jews on the streets and on college campuses and stuff. Hamas is winning this war. Israel
just
has
like
all
Osama bin Laden dragged us over to the Middle East. That's exactly what he wanted us to do.
In my opinion, Hamas has already won this war. Even if all of the ones that are currently in Gaza are killed, Hamas has already won this war. The hatred for Israel is at a height that I've never seen in my lifetime. I've never seen this before, which, of course, we didn't have social media back when we were in high school and grade school, and so you couldn't see everything that people were thinking at all times, which is a great time to be alive. And now you can see all the protests and stuff taking place. It's easier to organize people to protest than it used to be with all of our new technology. But from what I can tell, as far as hatred around the world for Israel, it seems to be at all-time highs, and maybe even for Jews, which is wrong to categorize Jews with the state of Israel. Like, those are different things, just like maybe Hamas and Palestinians are different things, you know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird that people that will argue that, like, Hamas is not Palestine or not Palestinians, but, like, all Jews are Israel, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, too. So, I don't know what they should have done after October 7th, but I think they had a real opportunity when everyone was behind them and everyone felt bad for them and everyone was talking about the rape and murder and baking babies in the oven and things like that. They had an opportunity to show the world that they were the morally superior people. And I think they, regardless of whether or not you think they should retaliate, I think in killing so many civilians now, which the numbers, if you believe all the numbers, are up to like 9,000 or so, something like that. I think they've already lost that morally superior war in the image of people around the world. And sometimes being the bigger person in a conflict and saying, you might have come over here and killed 1,500 of our civilians in a terrible way, but we're better than you. We're not like you. Like, we're going to hunt down each one of you people that did this, and we're going to send in special forces, and we're going to kill you over the next little bit. But we're not just going to bomb people's apartment buildings and kill innocent civilians, because that would make us as cold and heartless as you are. Mm-hmm. And that's not who we are. That's who you are.
Yeah.
They failed that.
Yeah.
It's done. It's over.
Yeah, imagine... Imagine the cops in the United States, like, they're going after a murderer, you know, and he decides to hide in the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, and rather than go in and try to get him out, we just bomb the hospital.
Yeah, we don't do that.
We got to take out that one murderer.
We talked about our hostage scenario. Like, you don't do that. You do everything. You spend, look at even Waco. They spent, like 80 days or some kind of crazy number that they spent at Waco before they finally decided to kill everyone inside the building. But at least they thought about it for a while, you know?
Yeah.
And in this case, that's not what's happening. But okay.
Well, so here's where the line gets fuzzy. Okay. And this is like, I can break this down to my own life, and you know, where is the wisdom? It's finding the wisdom to discern the difference between standing up for yourself and giving grace and not being walked all over. Right.
Yeah.
You know, because if a snake, like, you know, whatever, you can come up with all kinds of analogies or whatever, but like if a snake bites you, you know, you're gonna pet the snake, you know, like, hey buddy, don't bite me again, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, are you creating incentives for them to keep sending paragliders over if you don't do anything about it?
That's definitely a problem.
Okay, but then at the same time, if you look throughout history, what has actually invoked like actual peace and change? I always go back like to Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. During the civil rights movement. I mean, how justified would several of those people have been to fight back against folks who were beating them, killing some of them, imprisoning them? Like, the anger and rage that you would feel, but yet consistently Martin Luther King Jr. and those that followed him chose love and grace and mercy, and it actually changed.
Now,
it actually invoked real change.
One difference I see here is that I'm not really arguing that say doing nothing or just being more targeted would have changed the opinions of all the people in Gaza or Hamas terrorists or whatever. I think that they have a religious, philosophical belief. And then the people there, you're still dealing with whether or not they think Israel stole their land. And so Israel existing is like an act of aggression on them because they believe that the land was stolen. And so even Israel not doing anything, well, if they don't leave the land, then they're still like aggressing on you the whole time. What I said when we first started was if they wanted to win in the eyes of the world and have the world behind them and maybe even not be creating more people around the world that will eventually join the terrorist pipeline to wanting to do bad things, then they could have not come out here and killed all of these civilians. They could have done it in a more tactical way. And I know that's really difficult to do because you don't want to incentivize them to just do it again. Like, oh, wait, we attacked them. We killed 1,500 people and they didn't do anything. Let's do it. You guys good next Saturday? You good? Yeah. You want to get together again? Get the band back together? I think what they could focus on is doing better at defense, actual defense. You know, the people are inside your borders and you defend yourselves. You kill those people and you run them back out. Like, that's national defense. And they could have their military stationed everywhere along their border if they're worried about more border incursions. They kind of left it up, from what I heard, to these advanced technologies.
T-Dub makes a good point. They could let their citizens be armed to protect themselves.
And then up their Iron Dome capabilities to the point that no rocket ever gets through, to the point that Hamas even decides that there's no reason to fire another rocket. We haven't had a rocket land in Israel since '07. You know, why are we still firing rockets at these guys? They just shoot every single one of them down. Maybe we should use those pipes for water instead. Something like that. And because they literally would take humanitarian aid pipelines that were sent to them and they would cut them up and make them into rockets, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you improve your defense capabilities so much that you make it impossible for anyone to penetrate your borders and come in and attack you. And then you don't aggress on any of them. You're not bombing them. And you're so heavily well defended that none of your people are getting killed either. And to me, that sets a better stage for going forward more peacefully into the future.
And then you're able to tell better story, that you have the better story, right?
Yeah.
And then as generations come along, like, that hate starts to die out because mm-hmm. you're replacing it with something that actually drives out hate, which is love.
I get in all kinds of conspiracy theories, like, how did they not know this attack was going to happen? You know, after that hospital bombing, they released this supposed audio conversation between two Hamas people talking on the phone, like, oh yeah, the cemetery from behind the hospital. They had that within like hours of the hospital bombing. Where are the audio recordings of people talking about meeting and getting together on October 7th and
paragliding?
They don't have any phone conversations of people talking about this.
Where, no idea this was going to happen.
After each bombing that happens, they submit these audio recordings and they got nothing from before October 7th at all. Where did they get these? That's kind of weird, right? Just saying, it seems kind of weird.
Was Hamas using an Enigma?
Maybe.
A Middle Eastern Enigma? It's a new one.
It'll probably be the same old Enigma. They just didn't know how to break it anymore, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, these questions lead me to ideas about this war. So we're talking about giving them $14.3 billion, and that's going to happen one way or another. We're going to give them money. All right. And what has really started to bother me about this is, well, first off, it's money that is stolen from us, and then we're just going to give it to other people. And then some of that is going to be used to kill innocent civilians.
And then we don't even have any money.
And then I wish people on the left who are so upset would realize that this is some of the problem with your money being forcefully stolen from you, that this tax apparatus and this IRS apparatus that you so fully support then takes your money and gives it to a country that's perpetrating this war that you're out there protesting against right now.
Yeah.
That seems like something that people should pay
attention to. But you want the rich people
to
pay their fair share towards this war.
Towards the war. Yeah. So we can give more money towards the war.
Yeah.
But when you look at the differences between our two countries, like, look at government debt. This is one that is weird. Israel's government debt to GDP is 60%, and ours is 122% as of 2022. There, I have more updated numbers, by the way, but the percentages were around the same. Their budget, yearly budget balance was minus 3% of their GDP. Ours is minus 5.5% of the GDP in 2022. That'll be going up for 2023. By all accounts, Israel is in a better financial condition, like with current money, than we are. Everything that we do is with debt, and we finance it with bonds, and we, you know, we have to borrow this money and pay it back. And somehow that means that we just have to be able to continue borrowing money from people to give it to this country that has half the debt to GDP ratio that we have and has a less of a budget deficit before this war started than what we have as a, on a percentage basis. Our economy is way bigger, so, you know, they have a way, way smaller when you look at the actual number amount. And then we're giving them $4 billion and change dollars, you know, every year. And I just wonder how that, like, who circles that square for you in your head? That's what I want to know. Who makes that make sense? Here's a line graph of the two. Here's ours. Actually, now debt to GDP is up at 129%, and theirs is at 60.9%. And we are the ones that should be taking out debt to give them money. Why aren't they taking out debt to do this?
Well, according to Janet Yellen, we can afford it.
Yeah.
They may not be able to afford it.
I guess not. I guess not. And then I started looking at some of the money that we give them, because I started thinking about this idea of why aren't they financing this war with debt or with something like war bonds, like how we used to finance, like how we financed World War II, you know? And you look at this $3.3 billion that we gave them from the DOD, and this is from 2022, and this is a military financing program that we gave them $3.3 billion, which is a financing program with loans and grants. And then it says payment waived. They don't owe us the money back. And so what I wonder is, Israel, what's it worth to you to stay alive? And why is it that we should just borrow this money from the American people, take it from the American people, and they don't, why don't they have to pay it back? Yeah. They're in such better financial condition as an economy than we even are debt-wise. Why is there no question as to whether or not they have to pay the money back when they get done? Isn't that worth it to you?
We're up to over $250,000 per taxpayer.
Yeah.
So each taxpayer owes over $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that money's going to come due at some point. It may not be in our lifetimes, I don't know, because the market can remain irrational longer than you can remain solvent.
Coming up, we're going to keep talking about this, and then we're going to talk about this ballot referendum in Maine, where they want to seize the means of power distribution, supported by Bernie Sanders. Coming right up.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. The Biden administration supports Israel's right to self-defense against Hamas, but is under increasing pressure to advocate for a ceasefire.
1,400 people slaughtered in their homes at a music festival. And when Hamas decided to conduct operations, it was with the intent of killing people.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel is willing to consider brief pauses in the ongoing conflict with Hamas. The Israel-Hamas war has resulted in over 11,000 casualties on both sides of the conflict. Texas Senator Ted Cruz calling out election interference in support of presidential candidate Donald Trump.
The unfairness of this proceeding is exactly right. Letitia James is a hardcore partisan. She campaigned saying, I'm going to get Donald Trump. I'm going to go after Donald Trump. This judge, by all appearances, hates Donald Trump.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
I need to do my taxes. Are there any self-help options online?
Doing taxes yourself? IRS.gov has many self-service tax tools, and they're all just a click away. Prepare and file your taxes online using FreeFile. Use our calculator to estimate your tax withholding. Order a tax transcript. Apply for an employer identification number. Check your refund status, too. IRS.gov, your 24/7 federal tax resource.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
All right, y'all, what's up? This is Liberty and Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. Before that break, we were talking about how Israel could actually fund this war with bonds like we used to do in the old days. People are buying Israeli bonds. Sorry, I cut you off.
Well, I'm just saying, like, all I'm saying is who knows when that debt's going to come due, but it's going to come due.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it works throughout all of human history.
Indiana is purchasing $35 million of Israeli bonds. They do have bonds. Okay, so they do have a bond market, just like most countries do, and they offer a pretty good percentage on the bonds. Overall, U.S. states have combined together to buy about $150 million worth of Israeli bonds for their state, like pension programs and stuff like that. And so it got me thinking, like, what about this as an investment? We could just give them the money. Or we could buy a bond from them, and they could pay us back in 30 years with a 5% interest rate or something. Why can't they afford to do that? I wonder why. There's a story about the Israeli bonds, them saying it's a good deal. I looked at their bond market. They're doing about 5%, 5 to 6%, 15-year bond, 6% right now. You can get a Jubilee bond. 15-year bond at 6%. 0.04%. And so why is it that we didn't take American taxpayers' money and just give it to them and say that they don't have to do anything back with it? You've got state pension programs that are buying Israeli bonds to help them fund their war effort. So we got states buying Israeli bonds and show support. Ukraine was selling war bonds. They sold like $180 million worth or something like that. The bonds at 11% interest. You know why they got to pay a higher interest rate? Because there's a lot higher risk involved, because good chance they're not going to win that war.
Mm-hmm.
So good chance you're not going to get. I don't know if Russia gets the debt in the process. You know, when you do a hostile takeover of a country, I'm not sure if you also get all of their debt.
Okay, I'm giving you money and you're literally blowing it up.
Yeah,
like actually blowing it up.
During World War II, the U.S. spent nearly 4 years at war, requiring services of millions of soldiers and the manufacturing of countless ships, aircraft carriers, tanks, weapons, all the stuff. Cost estimated to be around $4.1 trillion if adjusted for today's dollars. Well, could have paid for the whole war in like 9 months.
Yeah.
The U.S. needed to raise funds quickly and did so largely by selling war bonds. The government urged citizens to purchase these war bonds as a matter of patriotic duty, and more than 85 million Americans bought war bonds. Americans purchased $185.7 billion worth of war bonds. By contrast, more recent wars, including conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, were primarily financed by increasing the nation's foreign debt because we could just print all the money. See, even back in World War II, even though they already had the Fed at that time, we still had the gold standard, technically, at that point. And so we were still a little more constrained. They had to sell these bonds to raise money. So it wasn't until the 70s we got officially taken off. They did, you know, forcefully bought everyone's gold.
Yeah.
You know, but our money supply was still constrained at that point. So anyway, I guess to round this up, what I want to figure out is why is it that when we talk about this $14.3 billion aid package for Israel, or even the $4 billion that we do every year, why isn't it worth it to them to want to pay a 5% interest rate on this and make it a 15-year bond or a 30-year bond or whatever? You know, it would be better for the American people than the foreign aid package that we're talking about, even if there was 0% interest and they still paid it back. You don't have to charge them any money on it.
Just give us the money back.
Just give the money back to us later on down the road. But you could actually make the case that, okay, this could be a better investment of taxpayer money than other ways the U.S. government was going to set the money on fire. For some reason, there's just this idea that they're in such dire need that we have to give this to them, no questions asked. I don't like that. There's other ways.
That was good.
Good, good, good.
Great conversation.
The next one, which hopefully we have some time for, totally shifting topics right now. But I wanted to talk about this ballot referendum in Maine. They're going to be voting. You know, just one of those.
Still money talk.
Still money. Pure democracy, where they put these ballot referendums on, you know, and you give 50.1% of the people decide to do something, and that's that. That's the law, unless someone challenges it later on. But Maine public power vote could shape new course for utilities. So what's happening is they've got these two utility companies in Maine. And they are they're state regulated companies.
Yeah, but they're for-profit.
They're for-profit companies.
This is evil.
They're privately owned companies, but they are heavily regulated companies. So they are like state sanctioned monopolies in the state. The state, even they have to get their rate.
And we know Maine exists because there was a mass shooting.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. So now, there are people.
We have two stories that are proving, I guess, that Maine does exist and that people live there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Seems as if people do live. I don't know why.
I'm sure it's beautiful up there.
But it seems like people do live in Maine.
You get closer to the lobster. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's cheaper up there. You don't have to pay shipping costs.
Yeah.
So, Charlie, you want to read a little bit? I'll read a little bit.
Yeah.
See what's going on here.
So Maine residents are set to vote next week on a ballot initiative that would make the state the first with a publicly owned electric utility governed by an elected board. Proponents say the initiative could chart a new path forward for utilities, increasing local control of something that profoundly affects people's lives and reducing service interruptions in Maine. Yeah, because they have an incentive. Yeah, not to. Which leads the nation in frequency of power outages. Detractors, meanwhile, say it would be prohibitively expensive. The ballot initiative, question 3, would allow for a new, quote, a new power company governed by an elected board to acquire and operate existing for-profit electricity transmission and distribution facilities in Maine. Maine's electricity is provided by two investor-owned utilities, Central Maine Power and Versant Power. The push for a public utility was fueled by frustration with those two utilities, which cover 97% of Mainers, said Lucy Hoschenscharter. Hoschenscharter. She's a charter.
Hoschartner.
A spokesperson for the campaign.
Anyway, the important part was you say a hush heartener.
Yeah,
that's what you need to take away from that.
She goes by Lucy.
Lucy is her name. The idea here is that they are going to forcefully buy out the privately owned companies that are currently providing the power in Maine and create a publicly customer-owned power company that is going to magically have less power disruptions than the current companies, will save the people money. Everything will be cheaper because you're going to knock out that pesky profit, which is, as everyone has been, you know, it's so important for us to talk about these things because people will do this based on the idea that profit increases the price of things, when in fact profit decreases the price of things because it creates an incentive to do things more efficiently.
If you have competition.
If you have competition. Power is utilities are a difficult thing. You know, like, do you really want to see 20 different electrical pole lines running side by side down the side of the road
with,
you know,
sales reps coming by your door deciding which power company you're going to sign up for?
It's like, it's
and
difficult.
Then you switch every month. I want to tap into Versant this month, you know?
So yeah, it's more difficult than other businesses.
Now they're all the communities they're building, they put the power underground. It's much better.
Much better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My community, no, it's up there.
Is it still up there?
Oh.
Terrible.
That's frustrating.
Yeah.
I live in Antioch.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, so
power lines. Ours have like a...
Is it weird when you drive into this, you know, extremely...
Yeah, I'm like, where are the power lines with shoes hanging from them?
Yeah.
This is weird.
Yeah. You know.
Okay, sorry, there's more here.
The whole point of that, I live in this unbelievably wealthy neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, Durham, one of Bart Durham's sons lives here.
Okay.
Japheth.
Yeah. Okay.
Lives in this community.
Can I you don't have John Morgan from Morgan and Morgan and Morgan and Morgan.
Yeah.
Living here.
Some of the billionaire lawyers' kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how
rich Charlie is.
That's how rich this podcast is.
The idea of moving toward public ownership of electric utilities is already being explored elsewhere, although at a municipal rather than statewide level. Rochester, New York City Council voted in June to study the logistics of a public power campaign.
Committee.
Do you think that the power company has to create a committee to study the logistics of whether or not they can provide power to people? Like, no, because they're experts in their field.
Yeah.
In this case, the government has to get together and figure out how the heck they're going to do this. While San Diego committed up to $3 million for the same purpose in 2022, these investor-owned models aren't working anywhere in the country, Lucy said. At its heart, this is about whether, as we are setting up this public good, electricity, do we want that crucial system to be in the hands of corporations whose job it is to extract as much money as possible? I think that has an appeal across the country. This is literally people voting on a ballot referendum to seize the means of power production from privately owned companies that are currently operating in the state. Like, they're going to forcefully buy them out and take over their operations.
That's insane.
And it's happening in a U.S. state.
Yeah. And this is why we talk about these ideas all the time.
Yeah. Two senators from Maine, Angus King and Susan Collins, have stayed out of the fight. With King's office telling, probably because he gets donations from the power companies, King's office telling the Hill he considers it a state issue. But Senator Bernie Sanders, perhaps the New England figure with the highest national profile, has backed this referendum, if you can imagine that thing. Quote, this is from someone else.
This is from Bernie.
Is it from Bernie?
Mm-hmm.
Power belongs in the hands of the people, not greedy
power
corporations.
Belongs?
Fortunately, Mainers have a rare chance to take control of an important part of their daily lives instead of a private power system that last year sent $187 million in profits out of the country. They're owned by non-U.S. companies, by the way. Mainers can have cheaper, more reliable power and help fight climate change at the same time.
I had to throw that in there.
No, this is why it's happening. Mm-hmm. That's the next thing you'll figure out. These companies have apparently been too slow to adopt clean energy technology And so the push is to take them over and force them over to green stuff. Proponents of public utilities ownership have argued that investor-owned utilities frequently end up in scenarios in which they must choose between profit and addressing climate change and opt for the former, the profit. The incentive structure for private utilities was designed to encourage them to build as much infrastructure as possible.
What a terrible thing.
Oh, God.
We need to get as much power to as many houses as possible. Stop! What about climate change?
This is terrible.
Skip the houses. We're all going to die from climate change.
That was from Amber Ruther, an organizing coordinator with the Alliance for a Green Economy, who, when she said that, was testifying in her capacity as a member of New York City's Democratic Socialists for America. But now that incentive structure is obsolete and it's preventing us from achieving our climate
goals.
That's
what I just said. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Stop giving power to people. We must fight climate change first. And I'm sorry, Susan and Timmy, local lobster farmers, obviously, who live in Maine, you know.
Yeah.
You know, your house does not get power right now until we fix this whole climate change issue in Maine.
You've got socialism coming in the form, and I mean like seizing the means of production, coming in the form of this ballot vote because of the climate change agenda people are pushing to take over these companies.
Yeah.
I'm not saying these companies
are
right.
And we're the crazy ones who have been talking about these types of things for the last, I don't know, 5 years. And then when it starts to come true, because it's you can see the writing on the all over the walls. In Maine, if you go Maine, there's so much writing.
There's walls, and there's you're saying that there's
if you look
writing all over them.
If you look at the walls
people
carefully.
People in Maine have backed this up on it. They've been seeing the writing on the walls for a while.
Yeah. So many walls with writing on them.
Opponents.
Big cursive letters, too.
Yeah.
And I know some people can't read cursive,
which might be
the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bring back cursive. This is why we need to bring back cursive in schools.
Because people can't read the writing on the walls.
Your mom was onto something there. Why do people listen to the show?
I don't know. I have no clue. Anyway, back to the point.
The point I was trying to make was about walls. All right.
Yeah.
No. But the point was, is we talk about these things for a reason. And it's because of stuff like this. Now, just wait until you get to... Just wait until you see how well this is going to work, folks.
Opponents, meanwhile, argue that if ratepayers are concerned about cost, shifting to public utility ownership would be a move in the wrong direction.
Correct.
Willie Rich, yeah, because name something the government does that they are able to do cheaper than a private corporation. Okay.
Exactly.
Willie Rich, or Rich, as we're going to call
him. You know what the worst hospital is in Nashville?
Probably the General.
It's Nash
General.
The municipal hospital.
That's because they're underfunded.
That is non-profit. They don't take a profit. It used to be a good hospital back in like the 70s. And 80s, it was like the number one hospital.
Yeah. Well, we've slashed our hospital budget since then. We just need to send them more money. Willie Rich, executive director of Maine Affordable Energy, told The Hill... The three main marks against the idea are its cost, the years of legal red tape involved in implementing it, and the prospect of a new system of bureaucracy with no experience running an electrical grid. These are going to be, imagine, the idea here is that you can elect the people that are going to be doing this. Who are you going to elect? Like, you want your board of people running the power company to be decided based on their ability to get out the vote? You know, not on their credentials of running an electrical company.
Understanding power.
Quote, if you waved a magic wand and made all those problems disappear except for the cost would still be insurmountable, Rich said. To start with, in order to transition to a publicly owned utility, the state would have to buy out the existing utilities. Maine Affordable Energy estimates this would cost about $13.5 billion, while proponents of the initiative estimate the cost at around $5 billion. this is where the court battle is going to come up, because if they try to come in and buy them for $5 billion, they're going to sue them. Because when you do a civil, no, civil asset for, what do you call it when you...
Eminent domain.
Eminent domain, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you eminent domain someone and you seize this business, you're supposed to pay them a fair market value. The problem is, when do you check to see what the fair market value is? Because before they decided to do this, the value might have been $13.5 billion. After they decided to do this, how many companies do you think are lined up to buy out these power companies right now? The value goes down because where's the market for people wanting to come in and buy them? It's gone. There's less people that would be interested in coming and buying them now. So their market value has gone down since they started talking about doing this. And so they're going to argue that their value is the value of the company before anyone started talking about doing this, and that the fair value would be $13.5 billion. So that's, if they buy it for $13.5 billion, that's $500 million a year in interest payments. Now, the really fun part about that is that Bernie Sanders just said that these companies sent off $187 million in profits to other countries. And of course, the idea now is that we're going to get rid of these profits. To buy out these companies, the state will pay just in interest $500 million per year, 2.5 times the profit of the current investor-owned utilities. Yet they will save money because they won't have to be paying for those companies' profit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So not only will they have to...
Well, math is racist, so even if you try to crunch the numbers, you can't because you're white.
I don't know why I thought that was so funny.
But
Eminem's so mean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they not only will they have
to... Are you saying you want to bring Chuck Shady back?
They'll have to cut costs to a point that they make up for this $500 million a year. They're not just going to have to save like what people were paying for the profits of the corporations. They've now got to save the $500 million a year that they're going to be paying in interest just to get it back to even.
But here's what I want to say. This is stupid.
Yeah.
But I... And this could make dumb bleep of the week,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We talk all the time about how basically we have 50 separate countries. I want Maine to do that.
Oh, I do too.
Please.
Yeah.
For the love of God.
Do it.
Pass this.
I want to see it happen.
I get out the yes vote.
Yeah.
Please. Let's run this experiment live.
In Maine.
And for right those here that live in Maine, please move out because we want you to actually have power. That's cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
But for everyone who's dumb enough that actually wants this, y'all stay there. And let's run this experiment. In Maine, what an incentive to get people to move there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's send all the communists that live in America, let's send them to Maine. They can set up their little Maine community, and we'll see what works out. We'll see how it plays out. Maybe we would be wrong. Maybe a public utility, maybe the worker-owned, customer-owned, board-owned, whatever, people who know nothing about power, maybe they would do a way better job, and we just don't know. And then they can just start to take over everything else, you know?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
It'll be, you know, employee-owned McDonald's and gas stations and everything in Maine. Let's just make it the communist utopia that they're all dreaming of. Let's make Maine... I think Maine would be a great state to try this out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost furthest away possible.
Let's do it. I'm campaigning yes.
Yeah, I do want to see this. No offense to people that in Maine that allegedly exist that are listening right now, but I do want to see this happen, and I want to see how terribly it goes, because it will provide us with something to talk about on the show.
Finally.
Of course, people will say that that wasn't real socialism,
mm-hmm.
but you know, they'll have all different ways that they'll
that
be
wasn't
claiming this.
Really. Buying yeah. out a profit.
Somewhere there's going to be corporate greed that's going to mess up their master plan yeah. of everything, or mm-hmm. they're going to put the wrong person in power that's going to be corrupt
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be stealing money. And if you just had the right people.
I'm filling in. Is this mail-in ballot eligible?
I'm sure we can just send in ballots.
I'm filling yeah. it out right now. Can we vote online?
Here's the fun part.
I'll be from Maine.
Most of the people's, the last part before we go, because we have to go, most of the people's bills are from the actual power generation, you know, And these companies, the ones they're talking about taking over, they only handle the distribution of the power, not the power generation. They still get that from like Ontario or something. I don't know where they get where they're getting their actual power from. So that part's going to stay the same. They have a lot of natural gas and stuff like that. That's still going to be dictated by market prices by doing that. This doesn't even affect that. It's only about they think they can do the power distribution so much cheaper than these companies. But what's great is when this worker cooperative or customer cooperative comes in, they are then going to hire a third-party operator to run the company still afterwards. All that's happening is they're replacing these two companies' boards of directors with elected boards of directors for the two companies, and then they're still going to have to pay a third-party company to run it because none of them have any idea what they're doing at all.
Great experiment.
And the idea that they're going to be able to do it cheaper than people who do this for a living for their whole lives is completely ridiculous.
I already feel bad for the people who are going to freeze to death in Maine when this passes, you know, because it gets cold up there from what I hear.
I'm sure.
You know, it's pretty close to Greenland, I think, right?
Like Costco just said, the third party is going to be people from the original companies. They're literally going to take over the board of directors and then pay the companies to run the companies like they used to run the companies.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what's going to happen because they're already going to know what to do because they're the ones that are doing it right now.
Yeah.
They're just supplanting their board of directors. That's it. That's it.
And paying them a bit.
And they're going to pay $13.5 billion for it and $500 million a year in interest to remove the board of directors.
And somehow, people of Maine, your cost is going to go down. You're going to be paying less.
Because you're getting rid of the profit.
But the problem is the real reason you're going to be paying less is because you're actually not going to be able to get power to your house anymore.
Yes, it won't cost anything.
So it's not going to cost you a thing.
Sure, it will be cheaper.
Yeah, it will be cheaper. Well, you might freeze to death, you know, but that's fine. If you die, then you're not paying anything. You're dead.
Mm-hmm.
I see how they're going to save money.
Just like food is cheaper for the starving people in China. Coming right up, it's everyone's favorite segment of the week. It's Dumb Bleep of the Week. Time to vote on the dumbest thing that was said in politics last week on Liberty at Night.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.